The Yellow Envelope by Joy M. Morby. I was glad my mum wasn't a hoarder. Even so, there'd been a lot to help her sort out before she moved to the older people's retirement apartment close to where I live. It had taken ages to sift through all the photographs and to mount the ones she wanted to keep. There were lots of black and white photos of my father, Jim. There were several large ones of him in the RAF uniform, his hat on one side of his head. And there were some of him and Mum and me. A rather blurred one showed Dad running backwards while I ran forwards. He could easily beat me whichever way round he ran. But somehow he always managed to stumble just before the finish of the race so that I was triumphant. One snap was taken when he was on leave. It showed me sitting on a chair in our little back garden, my head tipped back. Dad was shampooing my hair from behind. I was laughing at the novelty of it. Dad had worked as a barber, and I remembered him saying that the owner of the barber's shop was going to have backward basins installed after the war. They were the latest thing. "I'll make a cup of tea," my mum said as I started looking through the very last box, which had been under her bed. Right at the bottom of it, underneath a pile of letters, was a flat, square box tied with string. On the lid, in Mum's handwriting, were the words, "Jim's Voice." I untied the string, lifted off the lid, and there it lay, a dull black 78 RMP record with a small packet of wooden needles. In a moment, I was back in our old house in Camberley. Liz and I answer the knock at our front door. "Who is it?" Mum calls. "Oh, just a letter." "Hurry up, the food's on the table." It's school dinner time and we're having macaroni cheese. It smells delicious as we run into the kitchen. I hand Mum the yellow envelope. We rinse our hands at the kitchen sink and sit down. There's a strange silence for a moment. Mum and Auntie Alice are staring at a small sheet of paper that Mum has taken out of the yellow envelope. Then she gives a gasp, more of a little scream, and Auntie puts her arm round Mum. "You stay here and eat your dinner," Auntie says to us. "We have to go and see Auntie Fran for a few minutes." Without looking at us, they go out of the back door. Auntie Fran isn't related to us, but she lives next door and has known us since we were born, so we call her Auntie. "I wonder what the letter was about," Les says. "It looks serious." "Mmm," I say as we tuck into our macaroni cheese. Ages later, Auntie Fran comes in without knocking. "It's time to go back to school now," she says. "But when are Mum and Auntie Alice coming home?" I ask. "Don't worry, they'll be here by the time you get back from school. They're busy at the moment. We've already washed our plates, but have left theirs on the table with helpings of macaroni cheese, grown cold." Auntie Fran covers them with two more plates, and something about her face stops us asking any more questions. That afternoon, Mrs. Cartwright, our teacher, gives out the small paper mache dishes we have been making over the past few weeks. Mine is covered in little purple and blue flowers which I painted onto the top layer of the newspaper. We varnished the pots in the last art lesson and mine shines prettily. I'm proud of it, although it is a bit lopsided. I carry it home in triumph at the end of school. I have forgotten all about the letter in the yellow envelope. I walk the short distance home with my friend Sylvia. It's very quiet in the kitchen when I go in. Mum isn't busy getting the tea or with ironing or with any job at all. She's just sitting. Auntie Alice is not even knitting. I wave my beautiful dish in front of Mum. "Look, it's finished. Do you like it?" I feel sure this will cheer her up. "It's beautiful, darling. Well done. It's for Daddy, but you can share it." There's a pause and then, "Thank you, that's lovely." Her voice sounds different and I wonder if I've upset her. "You don't mind that it's for Daddy, do you? It's just that he's been away for such a long time. Of course I don't mind, darling. She gets up suddenly and goes into the front room. I turn to Auntie Alice. I'll put it on the mantelpiece, I say. Mum and you can enjoy it, and it'll be safe there until Daddy comes home. The next day, the postman delivers a flat, square box, tied with string.